Going to ask you to turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. If you start in Matthew and turn right, it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Probably the longest letter that Paul wrote, 16 chapters. Some people have called this the great cathedral of Christian theology. William Tyndale, the great reformer from England, who translated the Bible into English, said, "It is a light and a way into the whole Bible, the book of Romans." So there are basically 3 points in the book of Romans. Salvation is needed by all, salvation is provided for all, and salvation is free to all, the Jews and the Gentiles. So the book of Romans, chapter 1. This is Reformation week, and the Reformation started on October 31st, 1517, and we did Halloween last week, so we're doing the Reformation this week. Justification by faith and grace. The just shall live by faith. Now, if you look at Romans, the first part, chapters 1 through 11, how bad people can become good. It's through Jesus Christ. It's through justification. Romans 12 through 16 are how good people can become better. It's through the power of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. So that's an outline of the whole book. If you look at chapter 1, verses 1 through 17 is the gospel of God. Verses 18 through 32 are the wrath of God. And when you look at chapter 1 in your Bible, there are 6 places where it's of God. And I want to look at those first. If you look at these with me, look at verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. So there's the gospel of God. Then, if you look at verse 7, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God. So those are the people that God loves. And he's writing to the Romans. Look at verse 10. Making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God. So the will of God. What does God want? Look at verse 16. Very famous verse. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And actually the word power there is the Greek word dunamis. It's where we get the word dynamite, the dynamic energy of God working in us through the gospel. And then verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. But then verse 19, because of that which may be known of God, is manifest to them, for God has shown it unto him. God reveals things to us through his word. So those are some very interesting things dealing with of God in Romans chapter 1. Now let me read it to you. I'm going to read the sections of 1 through 18. Verses 1 through 4, the significance of the gospel. Look at verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets and holy scriptures, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. Perry Price emailed me a theological question this, and don't do that to me if it's hard. I don't do hard, all right? But, you know, if it's fairly simple, I'll answer it, okay? He said, what was more important, the death of Christ on the cross or the resurrection of Jesus from the dead? And my answer was Jesus being raised from the dead, because it proved that he was the Son of God. Jesus said, because I live, you shall live also. And so the resurrection from the dead shows that he was the Son of God. Now look at verses 5 through 16. The servant of God. This is about Paul. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Now, some people leave out that comma. Some people say the biggest denomination in Christianity is the ignorant brethren. And talking to some Christians, we got a bunch of ignorant brethren. But there's a comma in there in the English Bible. Verse 13, now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but it was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power, the dunamis, the dynamite of God, unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You see, verse 14, 15, 16, the three I ams of God, of Paul, the three I ams of Paul. The I am of obligation, verse 14, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. Then verse 15, the I am of preparation. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. And then the I am of declaration. What does he believe? Verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And then verses 17 and 18, you have the summary of the gospel. You have the significance of the gospel, verses 1 through 4. You have the servant of the gospel, Paul, verses 5 through 16. You have the summary of the gospel, verses 17 and 18. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And this is a quote from Habakkuk 2:4. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. So the point of the Reformation was the real gospel. The real gospel. We don't get to God by having someone pray for us or burning candles or offering some kind of sacrifices or anything like that. The gospel, the Evangelion, the good news, the word gospel, a reward for good tidings, but the word came to mean the good news itself, the gospel, the good news. When you study the Bible, the gospel begins in the Old Testament. Isaiah 52:7, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. The gospel is mentioned in the Old Testament. It points to Christ. Galatians 4:4. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, that he might deliver us from the law. It was promised in the Old Testament. It points to Jesus. It was purchased by Jesus. Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus told his disciples it's supposed to be preached to the whole world. Mark 16:15. Go you therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, that's been taken several different ways. St. Augustine preached to birds and animals. Because he said, Jesus said, preach the gospel to every creature. So he preached to the birds. Okay? I'm not going to do that, okay? But some people say, well, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said that to the disciples, and they're dead now, so we don't have to do that. I love that. You know, they're dead now, so we don't have to do that. I think it was something he meant for all of us to do in all generations. Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And when you preach the gospel, it produces righteousness. The grace of God hath appeared unto all men. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. The grace of God hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Or as we studied in Sunday school this morning, faith without works is dead, being alone. The word gospel is used 8 times in the New Testament. It starts off in Matthew 4, 23. Jesus came and preached the gospel of the kingdom. The kingdom of God is at hand. And when this church is gone, and when we're gone, and when the United States of America is gone, the kingdom of God will still be here. Except ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these other things, shall come to you. The kingdom of God. Are you a kingdom person? Do you think in kingdom terms? I had a professor at school, and he would always sign all of his letters, and instead of saying yours in Christ or God bless you, he would say yours for the kingdom. We need to think in terms of the kingdom. Jesus said the kingdom of God is at hand. He also said, Mark 10, 15, except the kingdom of God as a little child, you shall not enter therein. So Matthew 4, 23, he preached the kingdom. Billy Graham said one time, there are no shortcuts to the kingdom. There are no shortcuts to the kingdom. The way to the kingdom of God is through Jesus Christ, his son. There are no shortcuts to the kingdom. Now, the gospel of Christ is mentioned in 4 places. 1 Corinthians 9:12, 2 Corinthians 4:3, Philippians 1:27, and 2 Thessalonians 1:8. The gospel of Christ. And it is a free gift. Jesus paid it all that we might have eternal life. There was a man in England that had double cataracts, and these were extremely severe. His doctor said, I can't do the operation, but there's a man in London who's a famous surgeon. He can operate on your eyes, but be sure to take plenty of money. And so the man took everything he had. He only had about $50. Yeah, how's that working for you? You know, yeah, to go to the hospital, you take a bag of clothes and a bag of cash, right? Anyway, he went to this doctor, and the doctor said, yeah, you've got bad eyes, and yeah, I can operate and help you, but it's going to cost you blah, 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 and it was a huge amount of money. And the man said, well, this is all I've got. And he said, well, you know, there is no R in medical fee. It's fee, F-E-E, not F-R-E-E. And the man started to get up and walk out, and he said, but wait a minute. He said, you know, this is what I charge, but I will do it. I'll waive the fee. I will do it for free. And the man had his eyesight restored. You know, we've got a debt we cannot pay. We owe God so much. We owe a debt we cannot pay, and Jesus paid it for us. That is the gospel of Christ. And that's the heart of the gospel. And that's what Romans is trying to tell us. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:10, there is none good, no, not one. There is none that's righteous, no, not one. R.G. Lee said one time, the great Southern Baptist preacher, Jesus Christ is the world's greatest fact. Jesus Christ is the world's greatest force. And Jesus Christ is the world's greatest future. There is no future without Jesus. And some of our politicians need to remember that. Now, in Romans and in Ephesians, it's called the gospel by faith. And we come to God by faith. Ephesians 2:8 and 9, by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. John Payton was the first missionary to the cannibals in the New Hebrides. Payton went there with his family. His wife died. He buried his wife, and he had to sleep on her grave because the cannibals would have dug up her body and eaten it. That was his experience as a missionary. But as he began to try to explain to the cannibals what grace was, what faith was, putting your faith in Jesus, he would sit in a chair and lean back in it, and he'd say, I'm so tired, I just need to lean all my weight on this chair. And then he reworded John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever leaneth his whole weight on Jesus shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And the cannibals got it. It is the gospel of faith. It is the gospel of grace. Acts 20:24. God gives us his grace. What is justice? You get what you deserve. What is mercy? You don't get what you deserve. What is grace? You're given what you don't deserve. And that's God's grace. There was a man that wanted to help a homeless shelter. And he had $1 million to give to the homeless shelter. But he said, man, if I drop $1 million on them all at once, they'll blow it and then they'll be back where they are. So he decided, he said, I'll write them a check for $1,000 a week. $1,000 a week. $1,000 a week. And in every envelope with that check for $1,000, there was a note that said, more to come. Next week, a check for $1,000 and the note, more to come. Next week, a check for $1,000 and more to come. And that's what God's grace does for us. Every time God blesses us, there's a note in there that says, more to come. God keeps on blessing and keeps on blessing and keeps on blessing. Come, thou fount of every blessing. Tune my heart to sing thy praise. Streams of mercy never ceasing call for psalms of loudest praise. We sang that song. And so the heart of this morning is Romans 1:16-17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Paul quotes the just shall live by faith three times. Habakkuk 2:4, he quotes it in Galatians 3:11, he quotes it in Hebrews 10:38, and he quotes it in Romans 1:17. So when you look at these verses, you have the source of the gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Then you have the nature of the gospel. It is the power of God. God does the changing. We can't rehabilitate anybody. We can't change anybody. It takes God changing a heart. The nature of the gospel. It is the power of God. The purpose of the gospel. Unto salvation. Receiving eternal life. Eternal life starts in this life. If you have Jesus, you have eternal life right now. Eternal life doesn't start when we go to heaven. Eternal life starts right now in our lives. The scope of salvation, the scope of the gospel, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, to everybody. The reception of salvation, to everyone that believes, whosoever will may come, the Bible says. The efficacy of the gospel. Righteousness, making us clean and whole and pure in God's eyes, giving us the opportunity to do good things. And the outcome of the gospel, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. That's how we live now. So, E. Stanley Jones said one time, religions are man's search for God. The gospel is God's search for man. There are many religions, but there's only one gospel. The gospel started the Reformation. So what are we talking about today? Well, we're talking about a positive message. We're talking about God willing to give everyone that believes eternal life. John 1:12, as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. Talking about a personal requirement, we have to believe. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But I had to call, you had to call, we all have to call for ourselves and ask Jesus to forgive our sins and to gift us the gift of eternal life. And the practical effect, we get forgiven. We get eternal life. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption, even the remission of our sins. we get forgiveness. So there's a positive message, a personal requirement, and a practical effect. There's a story about the state of Connecticut in the Connecticut House of Representatives. John F. Kennedy liked to tell this story a lot when he ran for president. But the story is about Colonel Davenport. He was the Speaker of the House of Representatives, the state of Connecticut. One day they were meeting, and it got so cloudy and stormy that everybody thought the world was ending. Everybody thought it was the Day of Judgment. This is it. And so they started looking out the windows. They were all upset. They wanted to get out. And he's the Speaker of the House. He gets up and he says, "Listen, the Day of Judgment is either approaching or it is not. If it is not, then there's no cause for us to adjourn. And if it is, I choose to be found doing my job and doing my duty. Therefore, bring candles in so we can keep on working." Now, the world's not ending right now. Could be in 10 minutes, but it's not right now. Okay, it may end before we wake up tomorrow morning. But the point is, God wants us to keep doing what we're doing. God wants us to keep reaching. God wants us to keep witnessing. God wants us to keep shoeboxing. God wants us to keep spreading the word of the kingdom. Rather than fearing what is to come, we are to be faithful till Jesus Christ comes back. Instead of fearing the dark, we are to be lights as we watch and we wait. The just shall live by faith. The gospel is the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the week of the Protestant Reformation and the great truths that the Reformers spread around the world. So, if you've never done that, if you've never accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, you have an opportunity to do that as we sing. If God is leading you to be a member of this church, that's a decision you can make. We're going to sing invitation hymn number 475, "Must Jesus Bear the Cross Alone," number 475. I'm going to ask Betty to come to the organ. We're going to stand and let's sing this as our invitation hymn number 475.